The Shefa Chaim from the Klausenberger Rebbe, the volume on Rosh Hashanah. Beautiful, beautiful Maamar. I only started looking at it recently. I just picked it up recently. But in Maamar Mem, he's a short Maamar that I think, Mamish, it's the sort of what Tshuva is. It's really the punchline of Tshuva. And it explains such a fascinating question. He writes at the very beginning, let's see. He asks such a pashut question. Such an interesting question. And there's a lot to discuss in this question in Halacha. But he has such an interesting hesber of a very obvious question. He quotes the Pasuk. Pasuk Adilam says, Ashrei Am Yodei Tshuva. Praiseworthy is the nation who knows and appreciates. Yidia is also a lashon of understanding, the Tshuva, who understands the shofar. Hashem, Be'or Panecha Yaleichun. Hashem, by the light of your countenance, of your presence, Yaleichun, we like to travel. So he says as follows. Very simple question. Now we sort of know the answer to this question. Right, Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Yom Arichta. It's 2 days that are really one long day, whatever exactly that means, both in Halacha and in Machshava. But he asks such a simple question. If we assume a certain absolute knowledge of the arrangement of the calendar, so why do we still have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah b'zman hazeh? Why dafka by Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, what's the idea, to say it without giving away the answer too much, what's the idea that the second day of Tishrei should still be called Rosh Hashanah? That's what he's really asking. Shanu b'kiyin b'kviya d'yercha. We're b'kiyin, we are experts in the kviya d'yercha, and the arrangement of the calendar. So what exactly is the idea of calling Rosh Hashanah? Right? How can you have 2 days which are Rosh Hashanah? Again, the Gemara is dealing with that when it calls it a Yom Arichta. It's one long day. But it's not really one long day. It's Aleph Tishrei, and it's Beis Tishrei. And we need to understand why. It's coming to teach us really the essential principle of what it means to be a true Baal Tshuva. The Rambam Kosov. Umahiya Tshuva. Rambam writes in Uchos Tshuva Beis Beis. What is Tshuva? What is real Tshuva? Hushiyazov hachote chato v'yasiru machshavasom v'yigmor belibo shelo yaseh od. That a person comes to the absolute conclusion that the behavior that I've exhibited this past year, I will never do such a thing again. And I do that with such a clarity, with such a confidence, so sincere, that I've been yazov hachet, legamri, to the point that what? V'yeid alav yodea ta'alumos shelo yashuv lezeh hachet lo'olam. That Hashem, the knower of all, can look in my heart and say, you know what? Moshe Si really means it this year. He's really not going to do that avera again. He's actually going to stop, for the first time, since he began doing that avera, doing that avera. He means it this year. Hashem is able to be made, Hashem is able to testify on that individual that he's truly abandoned that chet, and he's never looking back. We say, we daven, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us back, right? We daven, Hashem should bring us tshuva lefanecha, mi lefanecha. What do we say? Hashiva shavtenu kumisham. No, hashivenu avinu l'sarasecha, v'karvenu makil l'sarasecha, v'achzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. V'achzirenu b'tshuva, what does that mean, achzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha? We should do complete tshuva lefanecha. What's lefanecha? So Michta Me'aliyahu, in the fourth volume, is a letter to his son. And he says, I'm going to give you a matana tova. I have a gift for you, a present for you. He says, I have a present for you, I'm going to tell you the pshat. What does it mean to do tshuva shleima lefanecha? What does that mean? So he says a pshat, he presented it as if it's his chiddush. It was his chiddush. Rav Dessler had it as his own chiddush. But the truth is, if you look in the Kazer Tzur Magid, in the Avodas Yisrael, in this past week parsha, he has the same vart. What does it mean, tshuva shleima lefanecha? He says, I'm going to give you a matana tova, I'm going to tell you what tshuva really is. We ask Hashem, tshuva shleima, real tshuva. What's real tshuva? Lefanecha. What does that mean, lefanecha? Lefanecha means this Rambam. That Hashem is able to look at you and say, it's not only tshuva shleima mitzad yourself, that I think I've really done tshuva, complete tshuva. That is lefanecha, that Hashem, who's yodea ta'alumos, who knows the machshavos of bnei adam, is able to look into my heart and to be able to say, yeah, taka, he really means it this time. He's really not going to do that avera ever again. And we dive into Hashem to help us with that. That Hashem should bring us to tshuva shleima lefanecha. That's what Rav Dessler writes to his son in a letter in the fourth volume of Michta Me'aliyahu, and he tells him it's a matana tova. I'm giving you a present to understand the secret of those words. To ask Hashem, please help me to do tshuva shleima, not just by my standards, but by your standards. That Hashem can look and testify to be made that this Jew is never going back to that avera. V'hainu, delo shebirosh Hashanah yasa adam tshuva. Yeah, everyone see where we are? Where it's underlined in the first column? It's not enough that a person should do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. And then what happens? Umiyad l'macharas yisnaig shuv k'mekodem. And then the next day he wakes up and he's back to his old self. Ukekelev hashav elkeo, or like the dog that returns to its filth. Ki tshuva kazu ein la erech klal. Because if you're just going to be frum for a day, if you're going to do tshuva for a day, and then go back to your old ways, that's not tshuva. And he quotes, of course, the famous statement that the Rebbe of Zush used to say to himself, not just on Rosh Hashanah. I was being meravis to it a second ago, I'm sure some of you thought of it. The Rebbe of Zush, what would he say to himself all the time? He would have the following conversation with himself. V'yadua me'arav ha-kadosh, ha-Rebbe of Zush ha-zechuso yagen alenu. She'b'chol layla haya'usa cheshbon ha-nefesh v'yabocha v'omer. Every night Rebbe Zush would cry himself to sleep. And he would make cheshbon ha-nefesh. And he would say, Zusha, Zusha. He would talk to himself, Zusha. Oyna lama chatasa yom ba'avira zo, but lama lo chazarta b'tshuva al chetze. Umaya besofcha zusha. Come on, another day with that avira again. What's going to be with you? When are you going to get it right? Umasayti chaletz kvar me'reshes yitzara. When are you going to free yourself from the grasps of the yitzara? You know, keep falling back into this day in and day out. Halohin charosha atam molei ba'avonos upshom. Zusha, come on, you know you're making mistakes. When are you going to get serious about it? V'kohosif livchos lismamer achata'ov achanane v'amar. And he would say that he would cry and say it over and over to himself until he reached the point where he would say, Ribono Sholem. Hineni mavticha mikan ve'elach l'shuv be'emes e'lech v'la'asos v'tonchom b'leiv avsholim. That from this point forward, I'm going to do tshuva be'emes. And I'm never going to fall back to it. Be'emes. U'miyad hosif omar. And then Reb Zusha would say a second later, turn over the page. Zusha, halogam etmol hivtachta, shetashuv b'tshuva v'lo kiyamta. But Zusha, we had this conversation yesterday. And we had this conversation the day before. And you promised Hashem, be'emes. Right? U'v'chol ha'lev. You promised the Kodesh Baruch Hu yesterday that I'm really not going to do that affair anymore. So what makes today any different? What makes Zusha crying himself to sleep tonight any different than when Zusha, the Rebbe of Zusha, said cried himself to sleep the night before? And he said, I'm really going to do it this time. And by his own standard, by his own assessment, he didn't do it. And then Rebbe Zusha would say to himself, Ribono Shel Olam, I promised you yesterday I'm never going to do it again. And I meant it when I said it yesterday. And I fell back in. But today, today I'm mamish me. Reb Zusha says to himself, today you can really trust me. Today, I know I told you this yesterday. And I know that you told you this the day before. But today, I'm mamish me. And then we start crying again. And then, right? The Gagal HaChozer, the story would go on and on. His conversation with himself. But Zusha, halogam emes yivtachta be'emes uvetam shalot hashuv l'chisla yoser la'olamim. But yesterday you also said, but Hashem, I really mean it. You said it yesterday. And that didn't last. So what makes you think that today when you said, but today I really, really mean it. What makes you think that's going to last? V'nei kol avto chosecha heim ka'ol nidaf. It's like a leaf blowing in the wind. This discussion with himself would go on and on throughout the night. But Hashem, now I really mean it. With that, Reb Zusha would pass out. Who knows where Reb Zusha would sleep? Can't imagine he had a comfy bed with two pillows and a blanket. Wherever he would collapse from exhaustion, from having this intense cheshbon nefesh with himself and the Rabbono Shalom. And he would say at the end, but now I really mean it. Arkad. Rebbe Reb Zusha. Now, I'm sure some of us have heard this story before. I never really thought about it like this, the way the Klausenberg Rebbe explains it from the Divrei Chaim. The Amr Li Alza, he said, I heard from the earlier tzaddikim from Tzatz. Dilo kamosha efshar lachshuv pashtos. You know, the Rebbe Reb Zusha, his stories always make you smile, that you sometimes think of the Rebbe Reb Zusha as almost like some cute little chassid. Rebbe Reb Zusha was a ball of fire. Rebbe Reb Zusha was an Eved Hashem par excellence. The Tzanzer Tzadikim used to explain like this. It's not the Pashup Shah. There Reb Zusha would have this cute little conversation. It's not that Reb Zusha would have this conversation until he got to the point of exhaustion, and then he would just collapse, and that's where the story would end. When would Reb Zusha stop the conversation? He would go back and forth. But yesterday I said it for real. Yeah, but today I really mean it. Yeah, but you said that yesterday. But yeah, but today I really mean it. He'd go back and forth with this internal struggle. Can he trust himself? And can Hashem truly trust in this person. He would have this conversation with himself until he really felt that he was being mekabel upon himself, be'emes, to not do that avera that he never promised in his life. But he promised it yesterday. Reb Zusha would fight himself on this point until he would really, really, really believe. Now, how many of us do that? When we come to Yom Kippur, we come to Rosh Hashanah, we come to Elul, and we're having conversations that we've had in the past before, right? A lot of us were paralyzed by the fact that I fell back in it. So I get, I kind of say, but this year I'm really going to do it. But I don't really believe I'm really going to do it. A Kabbalah is kind of exactly where it was last year. Reb Zusha would fight himself on a nightly basis that until I can be Makabal upon myself, a new Madrega of Kabbalah. Now again, whatever degree Reb Zusha fell back in, it's hard to even imagine. But he was a Kabbalah Gemura, Me'ome Kalev, that Hashem, I promise you, and you can be Meyid, the Yodea Talumos, the one who knows all, could look into Reb Zusha's heart and say, but this year I'm really going to do it. And we've all had that conversation a lot of times. But this year I'm really going to do it. I'm going to change this aspect of myself permanently. Kabbalah Gemura, right after it's underlined, Kabbalah Gemura v'chazaka, l'shuva l'shem yisparak, v'rach k'shiyah batuach b'zeh. And only when Reb Zusha, it's not just he would have the conversation as long as he could until he got tired. He would have the conversation until Reb Zusha mustered up enough feeling to be able to say, Rabbono Shalom, you could testify against me, I mamish mean it, that I'm not going to do that avera ever again. V'chol yom I am mosif aholich od v'od madregos al yonos b'dar chetshuv. Ad Khan, the famous Maisa, with the Rebbe Reb Zusha. Oh, so now, listen to this. It's so simple, and it's such a beautiful chiddush. It's such a beautiful way to come to Rosh Hashanah with a totally new understanding of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Says the Klausenberg, you know the answer at this point. What was the question, for those who just walked in? The question was, why do you need 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? It seems to be a stira mina yobei. The name Rosh Hashanah means that this is it. This is the Rosh. How do you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? And again, it's a Yom HaRichta, in Halacha, it's one long day on some level. But what does that mean, 2 days? We know, and we have cleared the Yarcha. We're experts in the calendar. So why Dafka by Rosh Hashanah as opposed to any other Yom Tov? They don't have two in Eretz Yisrael. They don't have 2 days of, they don't have two, you know, Siddurim on Pesach. Right? They have one Seder and that's it. So why are we still holding, even in Eretz Yisrael, there's still 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? What's the idea? Such a strange notion. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. How could that be? Says the Klausenberger, so beautiful. V'lachein. Tiknu ha-Rosh Hashanah beiz yamim, lahorus the yom la'achar Rosh Hashanah, tzarech ha-odem lisnai kamo Rosh Hashanah guf. If you think that it's enough to have a certain connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, and you know that by the next day it's no longer Rosh Hashanah, if you can't take Rosh Hashanah from day one to day two, then it's not really Rosh Hashanah. That's such a beautiful verb. If you can't make a commitment on Rosh Hashanah, that the day after Rosh Hashanah, it's still going to be exactly on the Madrega of Rosh Hashanah. So what he's saying is really day two is, Beis Tishrei is Yemos Achol. It really is, it's a regular day. Of course it's not. Halakhically it's been transformed now into Rosh Hashanah. But really it should be a regular day. We know, we're Bekiyim Bekiyah Diyach. We know this is Rosh Hashanah. What's the second day? The second day is, if you can't make a regular day into Rosh Hashanah, then you never really had Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah has to become 2 days. V'loshe yom le'achar b'kein, yasek yom chol, v'yisnag k'mo shayim mikotem. If you're not inherently feeling that I can take Beis Tishrei and make it ke'ilu, it's Rosh Hashanah, even if it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, then you never really had Rosh Hashanah. It's an amazing insight. V'yedei shegam b'yom ha'sheni, yisnag k'fi ha'roi le'yom Rosh Hashanah. But a Jew who can take Beis Tishrei and turn it into Rosh Hashanah, that's a Jew who really had Rosh Hashanah. That's the Rambam that we saw in Hilchos Shuvah Beis Beis. That Hashem can look at you and say, this Jew is for real. The way Reb Zusha would cry himself to bed at night and say, Reb Zusha, this year is for real. If you can turn the second day of Tishrei also into Rosh Hashanah, and that's what Chazal are guiding us in. They're being koveya that the second day of Tishrei has to be Rosh Hashanah. Because Chazal is saying to us, if you can't turn day two into Rosh Hashanah, v'shem b'yom v'halah b'meshech kol yimei chayav yisnaig al tzad ha-yoser tov, if you're not able to be mamshich in the avod of Rosh Hashanah, Chazal Chazal can't take it so far. They can't make the third day of Tishrei Hashanah, the fourth day of Tishrei Hashanah. But the idea is we're going to get the ball rolling, and we're going to turn Chol into Rosh Hashanah. And if you can't make Beis Tishrei as strong as Aleph Tishrei, then you never had Aleph Tishrei. You never really went through the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. V'tshuva tiyeh kayemes la'ad, v'lo yeshuv l'chis la'od. What a beautiful insight into the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And he says that's also the secret of the shofar. The shofar, we know, has all sorts of different sounds. The theme of the shofar is what? Is crying. The shofar emits various sounds, various types of crying. The Gemara says, v'yirmas b'tshuva, this is hinted to, says the Klausenberger, in the sounds of the Trua, she genuche ganach v'yalula yalil. Right, we have Trua, we have Shvarim, different sounds of crying. You have the more long sobs, you have the more broken, right, sounds of the shofar. What, we get the idea. You have to put on a whole show. Sometimes crying sounds like this. Sometimes you're sobbing more, you know, intensely, sometimes less so. You know, a combination of different cries. What's the pshat? We get the idea. That you need Knuche Ganach, Yule Yalil, these different sounds that the Gemara is trying to figure out. How exactly, what does the Trua sound like? He has one long straight sound, but is Trua, is it shorter? Is it shorter ones? Is it longer ones? Is it more? Is it less? What's the pshat? Ditzach bir kefala b'chios. What do you need, this mix, this variety of tears, of crying, of different sounds, again, of a Jew who's broken from his sin? Ula nizkar le'al yesh lomar. De'ein dai sheyivcha pam achas b'tshuva. You know why there needs to be two different types of tears? Two different types of sound? It's not enough for a person to cry one time, and he's yotze, that's tshuva. If those tears don't produce more tears, if you're just going to show up and cry in Rosh Hashanah, and then the next day, you don't feel that there's still more to cry about, then how much were the tears of Rosh Hashanah real? The message of the shofar, and it's a variety of sounds, is that hopefully the tears and the feeling, the broken feeling of a Jew trying to do tshuva, will create what? Will create further broken feelings. Will generate other different types of broken feelings. To the point that you are actually transformed by it. It's not let's cry it out and move on. Let's cry it out, and these tears will create new types of tears. Different types of tears. Different sounds. Yes.
People shout in tshuva ala tshuva.
Right, it's tshuva ala tshuva. That's exactly right. It's the feeling that once I did tshuva, now I'm on a higher plane, and I'm able to look back and say, what I called tshuva last year, that wasn't really tshuva. That's the other angle to this, other way to interpret the Rebbe Rebzusha story, right? Had I known yesterday what I know today about the Ribbono Shel Olam, then when I said yesterday I was going to be a good Jew, right? But now my relationship with Hashem is a totally different thing. I have to reassess. I have to constantly go back and say, when I was, you know, 15 years old and I thought I did tshuva, but now I'm 20 years old and I have a totally different understanding of who Hashem is. And when I'm 25, I'll have a different understanding. I constantly go back and do tshuva even for the things I did tshuva on, because I only did tshuva on a certain level once upon a time. Now I have a more mature, deeper perspective. I go back and I chazer over that tshuva. Yeah, Jojo.
Isn't the shofar also being blown when Mashiach comes? Isn't that like one of the signs that we're going to hear?
Yeah, one of the Rav Sadia Gaon brings 10 different interpretations of what the message of the sound of the shofar is. One of them is the Maram is to the shofar of Lassen. Right, that's what Tosfos says. The Yitzhara gets scared. He's going to talk about it in a second. The Yitzhara, the Satan, being frightened by the sound of the shofar. Yes, you have to see how that fits in also to figure out how that fits in. Yeah. Yeah, he's saying, why do you need to have the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there's genuche ganach v'alule yalil, right? There's the more intense sobbing, and then there's the more broken sobbing, right? The sound of the shofar, what we call shvarim, what we call trua. Why do you need these combinations of different sounds? Right? What just say? On Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to express our tshuva through the cry of the shofar. Why does the Gemara have to highlight that there's different types of sounds? We blow all sorts of combinations. The point is, what he's saying is that it's not enough to just cry it out once and then move on. It's tears that should generate more tears. It's feelings of tshuva that should generate more tshuva. It's Aleph Rosh Hashanah that should generate Beis Rosh Hashanah. It's day one, which should generate day two. And hopefully, day three, and day four, and day five. But if it's not, if it's just going to, if you think you can just show up and kind of, you know, do your thing and then move on, that's not it. That's not it. I heard a mashal once from the Dumna Magid. There was a guy who used to borrow money from a very wealthy gevir, and then he would buy whatever he was, merchandise he was selling, and he would sell his merchandise. One time there was a terrible fire, and he lost everything. not only did he lose what he had borrowed, but now he owed this guy more, and he had all sorts of credits and debtors, and it was a big mess. Mamash, a big mess. So he wanted to go back to the guy who he had been borrowing from for years. He had a relationship with this guy. He was always borrowing, and but now he was like really in big trouble. He was embarrassed to show up to this guy. But what's he going to do? He says, if I don't borrow more, then I'm never going to be able to pay him what I owe. I'm never going to get back on my feet. It was mamish, you know, there was no fire insurance. That was it. He was done. So he goes to the guy who he's already in debt to. He already owes money to. And he says, listen, he shows up. He's about to make a whole pitch why he needs to borrow more. He's got the whole thing planned in his head. He walks in. He's so embarrassed to even ask this guy for more. He just breaks down crying. He's standing there just crying. And the fellow comes over and he says, What's wrong? He sobs out the whole story. There's a terrible fire. I know I owe you money, but I need to borrow more. And he says, it's okay. He says, listen, I'll take off some of the money that you owe me, and I'll lend you to be able to build yourself up again. It's fine. We'll be able to work things out. So thankfully, he's overwhelmed. So he meets up with this other fellow, and he sees that he's got some merchandise. He has some money. He's getting back. He says, where did you get the... Who lent you this money? So he says, you know, the truth is, I was in very bad shape. I went to this guy. I already owe this fellow money. And I just stood there crying, and he felt so sad for me that he lent me money. So this other guy says, this is great. I'm going to show up to this gvir, and I'm going to also get some money. So he shows up at this gvir's house. Shows up at the gvir's house, and he's standing outside, and he just starts crying. So the gvir comes out. He says, what's going on? What's wrong? So he says, I hear you give out money to people who come to your door and cry. So he said, where did you get that idea? So he says, you know, Yankel, I saw Yankel yesterday. He told me he was in bad shape, and he came to him. He said, Yankel and I have been doing business together for the last 20 years. And Yankel is very good, you know. He borrows, he pays back. Sometimes he's a little behind, I help him out, right? But I have a relationship with Yankel. He says, you can't just show up at my door and just cry once and expect, like, all of a sudden, oh, now, because you cried at my doorstep. You heard Yankel cried at my doorstep and he got money. So you think anyone who cries at my doorstep gets money? I have a relationship with Yankel. A relationship with him. So that's exactly what he's saying here. He's saying, if you think you're going to show up one time and cry it out, you're going to show up and say, you know, today Hashem, today I really mean it. That's not going to be enough. You have to be like Reb Zusha, who says, you know what, from Mihayom v'Halah, from this day forward, I really mean it. I said that in the past, but today I really mean it. But I said that in the past, but I really, really mean it. And you fight yourself until you really, really mean it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends himself. And Hashem is willing to help you out. Let's see the next paragraph. Be'avur Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lama Token Brash Hashanah, Lama Token Amarian Kashayin Yoshvin, V'Token Amarian Kashayin Omdim. The Gemara says, why do we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, because the Torah says so. So the Gemara says, no. Why do we blow the shofar twice on Rosh Hashanah? Why do we blow it, the sitting tikios and the standing tikios? Right? Traditionally, why do we blow it before Shmona Esrei? Everyone stands anyways, but right, you could sit at that point. And why do we blow it again during the Amidah, when everyone is standing? What's the double shofar blowing? It says the Gemara, Kedei la'arvev ha-satan, to trick the satan, to trick him in what way? If I blow it once, he's not confused. If I blow it twice, he's confused. What's going on here? V'yesh levar, laman nis'arvev ha-satan, kasher tokin morgin kashen yoshun kashen omdin. Why does the satan get so overwhelmed when you blow the shofar sitting, and then you blow the shofar again standing? Why is that so overwhelming to the satan? So Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, Kad Shamba Kol Shipura Zimna Chada Bayol V'lo Bayol. Tosfos over there, Tazayin Amud Beis and Rosh Hashanah, says when he hears the shofar once, he's a little bit overwhelmed, right? He's Bayol V'lo Bayol. He's confused, but not so confused. V'kad shama tinyan, but when he hears it a second time, Amar vadei zeh shipura diyataka b'shofar gadol, like Jojo said, then he says, this is the shofar, tika b'shofar gadol, l'chiruseinu, this is the shofar Mashiach. The second time he hears the shofar, whoa, this must be the gula shlema. And he knows that what? Umata zimne limitbala. And he says, my time is up. I'm gone. Like we described this morning, the Yitzhara comes, and it's shechted. Right? Gemara in Sukkah Nun Gimel. He's shechted lasalav. And therefore the Satan is so confused. So still, what's the pshat? He hears the shofar twice, and now all of a sudden the Satan says, that's it, this is Mashiach. What's the pshat? The first time he's a little bit frightened, the second time he's totally frightened. Says the Klausenberg. Va'inyan tmua. Lamadaika kasher shomea shetokim b'sheinis az omer vadei zeo. Final page. Shipura diyataka b'shofar gadol. Umata zimnei lamit b'la misarbev. Why, when he hears it the second time, he says, this is the shofar gadol of Mashiach. And now he's so overwhelmed, he's so frightened. What's the pshat? But based on our Mahalich, based on the Mahalich of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, based on the multiple sounds, the cries of the shofar, what's the idea of blowing shofar and then blowing shofar again? Why is that so frightening to the Yetzer Hara? Because you're saying, I'm not just going to be from Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to be from this point forward about this particular nekuda that I'm working on. This is not, you're going to do your thing. It'll be Elul, and you'll be all inspired, and then Rosh Hashanah, you'll be inspired, and then Yom Kippur will come, and you'll be inspired. And then just wait until Baruch Hashem rolls around, and you're back in my clutches. When you blow the shofar twice, what you're expressing is, I'm doing it now, and I'm going to do it tomorrow, and I'm going to do it the next day, and I am not planning on giving up. Ah, the Yetzer Hara says, but last year you said the same thing. But this year, Zusha really means it. This year, I really mean it. Well, Aniskel El Muvan. He's not so frightened the first time he blew the shofar. He's over the ains that tshuva amitis sheyachol haborikol al min lahayir aleim shlo yeshuva lechisla. When you blow the shofar the first time, he says, "Yeah, you're like the guy who shows up at the gevir's door and cries it out once." But that he's not impressed. Hashem's not impressed. Hashem's not going to be able to look at your heart and say, "Ah, this Jew's for real." Aval kishetokin b'sheinis tekiyas demuumad. The expression of, I'm going to blow shofar here, I'm going to blow shofar there, I'm going to blow shofar in every which way. I'm going to blow different sounds, different cries, because this is something that's going to continue. Lahora shows in tshuva odapam. I did tshuva and a second later, I'm still doing tshuva. Harezeo ochacha ki asu tshuva haruya. This is the type of tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. Then the satan starts to get worried that maybe Zusha really does mean it this time. Maybe he actually is going to change. Maybe this, right, like Rodessa describes in Nekuda HaBechiras, right, the place where you were holding. For how many of us is it a taiva to turn on a light on Shabbos? It's not such a taiva. Right? Most of us are probably past that. It's not that I sit on Shabbos and I have to like really, oh my gosh, I hope I can get through another Shabbos without turning on a light. Right? That's not such a taiva. Because the place where our Bechiras holding, we've passed that point. We've moved past that point to the point where that's no longer a struggle for us. Maybe there are other things where we're struggling. Maybe there are things that we're not even beginning to work on because it's just so far beyond where we're holding. Rav Dessler has a whole system. But again, the idea that he's expressing here is that the Satan says, whoa, this Nekuda, it doesn't have to be about the whole person. To think in those terms is too overwhelming for us. But maybe this thing, which he promised last year, he's really not going to do again. Maybe this year he's really not going to do it again. Maybe the Satan is dead with regard to this Nekuda. Where I said, I'm really going to finally start making brachos with kavanah. And I did it for like a week, and then I went back to mumbling the whole year. But maybe this year, he's actually going to slow down, and he's going to stand still when he says Asher Yatzar. Maybe he's going to do that forever for the rest of his life. And the Sultan's annoyed about that. Maybe, right? Maybe this aspect of Shmiras Einayim or Shmiras HaBris, which he keeps falling back into, maybe he's really going to do something about it. And it's actually going to change. And the Sultan's very scared of that. So now we come back to the pasuk we started with, and we conclude the piece. What was the opening pasuk from Tehillim? The pasuk we actually recite before the tekios. Ashrei am yodei srua. Ashrei am yodei srua. What does it mean? She yodim hanirmas betrua. Praiseworthy are the Jews who hear the truos and understand that what? We're not just going to blow shofar when we're sitting, we're going to blow shofar when we're standing. We're not just going to blow shvarim, we're going to blow trua, we're going to blow shvarim, we're going to blow shvarim, trua, we're going to blow every combination. We're going to cry it out and the tears are going to create more tears. And the trua is going to create more tshuva. And the change is going to create more change. She yodim hanirmas betrua. She genuche ganach v'yelule yalil. The ha'orab ezehu. He tekesha osim tshuva umavakshim Hashem b'or panecha. When we say Hashem, yeah, of course during these days we're basking in your light. But I want to be in your light all year round. I want to always be in your presence. Shenizcha l'or pnei melech chayim azayiyeh zeh b'ofan shel yaleichun. What does the pasuk say? Praiseworthy are those who listen deeply and understand this message of shofar, that Hashem b'or panecha, in your presence, by the light of your countenance, yehalechon, I'm going to travel, not just on Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to travel with these feelings. They're going to go throughout Tishrei, into Cheshvan, into Kislev. It's going to travel with me throughout this year, and throughout the rest of my life. She'elezek kiyom, v'yumosifin v'hochin lizdavik b'Hashem, u'lizrachim mikol nidur chet v'avon. That this aspect of the Yetzer Hara is dead, for real. Ah, you said yesterday, but this year Zusha really, really means it. And then the tshuva will be a true tshuva. The Klausenberger ends the piece with one more paragraph, where he adds one other nekuda, which I think is a very chashuv nekuda. And especially, you know, as we come back into yeshiva, it's something to reflect on from the summer, when a person travels around a lot more. Now your schedule is going to be a lot more routine. Right? But a person's soul, we experience a variety of places and different experiences over the course of the year. We travel to different places. What does it mean to travel like a Yid? What does it mean to travel like a Yid? This is a big part, I think, of what it means that the Rambam says that Hashem should be able to be made. This Jew is not just a Jew in Beis Medrash. And he's not just a Jew in the presence of his Rebbe, or someone who has to act a certain way too. Right? He's the same type of Jew wherever he goes. Look what he writes. Od Yefurish. The way that the tzaddikim explain the Yismach Moshe and Devarim and other tzaddikim bring from the Rebbe of Shmelka of Nicholsburg, Zatzal, it's a davar akasuf. What does it mean? A very funny pasuk. Lichu banim shimuli yiras Hashem alametcha. Lichu banim. Go, my children, and listen to me. Rav Hutner asked the question very clearly in the Pachad Yitzchak, in the Igros. If I want to talk to someone, why would I say lichu, go? Yeah? I want to speak to someone. Right? So I say, no, I want to talk to you, so please come here. I wouldn't say, no, I'm going to the other side of Amsterdam Avenue, I want to have a conversation with you. But you're over here, so why are you sending me over there? Such a funny pasuk. Go, my child, and listen to me. Why would I go away if I want to listen? It should say, come, my child, and listen to me. What do you mean, l'chu banim? Go out and listen to me. New phone, I got to learn how to use. Okay, l'chu banim shimuli, what does it mean? Shelo tavdu es Hashem raka sheratem nimtzom bekirvas ha'av shemar alechem panim sochos. It's not enough to act a certain way when you're in your presence of your parents or your grandparents or your rebbeim, or you're in front of your boss, right? Where there's a certain culture that demands you have to be on your best behavior. It's not enough to try to be a refined person when you're in a situation where the situation around you demands that you have to be your very best. One of the things, I gave a shiur this summer, and I mentioned this point, because it resonates with me, and it's mamash al pachad. It really scares me. This nekuda, when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein passed away this past year, so many of us paid them focus on the fact that Rav Aaron was such a wholesome person. What does it mean to be a wholesome person? It means that the same person he was as Rosh Hashiva was the same person he was as a father, as a son, as a friend, as a Rebbe, as a Talmud. There was a certain wholesomeness. He wasn't a different person in different situations. The son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, they put out some of his writings. And in his writings he says, the Chafetz Chaim was the same person on a regular Tuesday morning that he was by Ni'ila on Yom Kippur. Now what does that mean? I can imagine the feelings of Ni'ila were more elevated. But the Chafetz Chaim was so true to who he was. He was so consistently true with the way that he lived his life, that he was as sensitive and as careful not to disappoint Hashem and disappoint himself on a regular day as he was by Ni'ila. By Ni'ila, if someone came over to you, right? The Yitzhar came over to you and said, come, let's go do this aver. It's Ni'ila, you're out of your mind, right? But if it's, you know, it's a boring day in the middle of the winter and it's, you know, there's nothing else to do, the Yitzhar says, come, let's go have a little fun because I'm feeling bored, right? All of a sudden, this is a conversation. By Ni'ila wasn't a conversation. It never would be a conversation. He could never get you. Why can he get you on another day? Because we're inconsistent in our lives. That we act a certain way in one environment, we act a different way in a different environment. They said about Rav Aaron, he was such a tmimistic person, such a sholem in his avoda, that he was the same person to me, that's such a pachad. Because I know I'm different when I'm playing Rebbe over here for you, and when I'm playing father, and I'm playing husband, and when I'm playing son, I know I'm not. Right? I know if I'm in a bad mood, it's gonna end up, I'm gonna take it out of my family more likely than I'll take it on you, because here I'm playing Rebbe and I have to be, you know, to be the Rebbe. Right? And we're all that way. You might feel, you know, more comfortable saying a certain something to your parents because of whatever, and you wouldn't say it to a Rebbe, and you wouldn't say it to you know, to just anyone else, but because you're comfortable, you feel that it's your brother, it's your sister, it's your friend, so you can, right? And there's an inconsistency in our life. Lechu banim shimuli demands that what? That it's not just enough to serve Hashem when you feel those moments where you're mamish in the presence of Hashem. Ela af bisho, where it's underlined. Af bisho sha'atem holchem imenu, you advarim chakukim aluach libcha. V'gam oz yeh negere neichem. V'tishmu ba'aznechem derach Hashem v'yos Hashem asher alametchem. Lechu banim shimuli, you know what it means? Lechu bana means when you walk out of the Beis Medrash, are you still the same type of Jew? And shir, you're a certain way. When you're with your Rebbeim, you're a certain way. With your Chavrusa. When you're in the Beis Medrash, there's certain things you would never do in the Beis Medrash. It's like the most shocking thing, right? Titos HaRasha. It's such a disgusting act in such a holy place. He was defiled a Sefer Torah, such a place with the Isha Zona. I can't even say what he did. And the Nefesh HaChaim says, yeah, but every time you have a Machshava Ra, so you're taking a zona into your Kodesh Kodashim, into your mind, into your heart. Right? So in a real base measure, you would never do such a thing. Right? But outside the base measure, you're a different person. The Yitzhar has more access to you. The idea of being a Jew who walks with Hashem. Hashem ba'or panecha yahalechun means that wherever I go, I'm going to be a consistent Jew. And that's the avodah. The shofar helps us to reach that madriga. V'zeo Hashem ba'or panecha yahalechun. Dibishas ha'trua. Mekablam b'nei Yisrael ha'atzma. When you listen to the shofar, you close your eyes and you say, I blow this type of sound and I blow that type of sound. And I blow when I'm sitting and I blow when I'm standing. And I'm going to do every type of combination to show that what? That I'm going to be responding to the melech who's calling to me through that shofar in any scenario. Whether he comes like this or like that, whatever Hashem wants for me, I'm going to step up and be the Eved Hashem I'm supposed to be. Hainu b'shar yimos hashana, that after the Yom HaKadoshim have passed and the feeling of the Yom Noram have gone, and you're settling into the darkness and the coldness of Cheshvan and Kislev before Hanukkah comes. Gam oz yu mikushar b'kadosh baruch hu, v'yasichu daitam midveikusam bo yisbarach shema. So mirtz Hashem we should be zocha to really appreciate. It's such a nice understanding of that second day of Rosh Hashanah. That the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we don't need a second day of Rosh Hashanah. How can it be called Rosh Hashanah? The answer is that second day is your way to show, did I really have a first day of Rosh Hashanah? Because if the second day is not like the first day, then the first day wasn't real. It was just a show. And that's not what Hashem is looking for. Hashem is looking for real change. He used such a strong lashon in that first paragraph. That tshuva kazu ein la erech klal. Of course, that's not true. Right? If you just do tshuva for one day and then fall back into your old ways, that's also very good. But the Chosen Baruch Rebbe is saying, on some level, it's really worthless. If you're not going to make true change in your life, if you're not going to be a holich to take the messages of the Yom Noram with you, if you're just going to have this little rah-rah at the beginning of the year, you know, Rabbi Penner will give a few extra drushas and have a few extra special sichas musars, and we'll learn the ma'arals, the siva tshuva, and then we'll just go back to being regular. If we're not different Jews by the end of this year, and from one day to the next, like the Rebbe of Zusha, who literally from one day to the next said, Hashem be'emes, I'm a different Jew today. The Yira Kaddish, they said he was called the Yira Kaddish because every day he was makal upon himself to be a different Jew. That's the feeling we should have all the more so during these days. But Amir Hashem, we should have those feelings throughout the course of our lives.
Amen.